Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a Chippewa Valley church this Friday and Saturday night will offer a conversation about mental health for students, both for the students Friday night and for parents on Saturday morning. We'll deal with it next on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. This coming Friday night from 6 to 8 o'clock, Jacob's Well Church will be offering Flip the Script, a conversation about mental health for students with Will Hutcherson. And then on Saturday from 9 to noon, they'll offer a session for parents. While the Friday night event is free, the Saturday event is $5 at the door. Hutcherson's been a next-gen and student pastor for over 15 years. Over the past several years, he's become increasingly passionate about finding practical ways to bring hope to kids and teens who are facing increasing amounts of anxiety, depression, and despair. This led him to start Curate Hope, a nonprofit that focuses on suicide prevention and mental health awareness and partnering with schools, churches, and parents to help heal despair in teens. Jacob's Well, in their promotion for the event, says that Will Hutcherson seeks to build a bridge between the local church and schools and families that are navigating this mental health crisis. Every year, he speaks in public schools across the country, letting students know that there's always hope. Will Hutcherson is co-author of two books, both with Dr. Chinwe Williams. The first, Seen, Healing Despair and Anxiety in Kids and Teens Through the Power of Connection. The second, Beyond the Spiral, Why You Shouldn't Believe Everything Anxiety Tells You. What we have for you on this evening's Chippewa Valley This Week is from Hutcherson's website, willhutch.com. They've got what everyday leaders can do for kids' mental health. And it's from a conference from a couple of years ago. And here, Hutcherson and Williams share five different things that parents can do to and leaders can do to help kids struggling with anxiety. Let's listen.
The first tool is to show up. Now, this first tool is foundational for helping any kid or teenager. So if you don't remember anything, all the other connection tools hinge on this one principle. And consistency matters here. Consistency, as you know, builds trust. So we have to show up. But we can make this a little kind of oversimplified, right? I mean, to show up sounds easy, but it's actually kind of hard to live out, isn't it? We know to show up in the big moments, but we also have to show up in the small moments. To show up at school events, sporting events, remember the big exam, shoot them a text to tell them that you're praying for them. To show up means to be available even when it's inconvenient. Now, for those of you who work in youth ministry, this means that you have to show up at midnight on camp weeks, right? Because for some reason, teenagers want to talk at midnight when all the adults are crazy tired. But that's just part of it, to show up even when it's inconvenient. The tendency is that as our kids get older, or the kids that we work with get older, we think that we can lean out, but at 15, 16, they're making big life decisions. And having a caring adult in that stage of life is huge, especially in a season where they're kind of pushing against their parents. Mm-hmm. So as they navigate maybe despair or anxiety, simply showing up is a big part of the healing process.
That is so true, Will. When we show up for our kids and our teenagers, they feel loved. So the next tool I'm going to talk about is to see them. So what do we mean by that? So we want to see beyond the behavior and look for the emotion that underlies whatever difficult behavior our kid or our student is exhibiting at the time. So for example, your student comes into small group and they look visibly upset. And initially you're like, oh my gosh, I think they may start tearing up, but you don't want to kind of call them out, right? But then they start to kind of distract other members with silly behavior and maybe kind of joking around and getting everybody off task. So seeing them requires us to look beyond how they might be behaving on the outside and try to kind of understand what they might be feeling on the inside. So when a student exhibits unusual behavior or shares a little bit about circumstances that maybe happened at school or at home, listen without interrupting. Then maybe ask them, how did that make you feel? So friends, we call this an emotional exhale. So expressing feelings, rather big or small, is like exhaling built up feelings in our brains. And often we go through life feeling emotions that we either ignore or try really hard to suppress. And leaders, we live in a world where very seldom will someone ask a kid or a student that we're leading how they're feeling. And when we do that, that's actually meeting right brain with right brain. So when we don't ask, we actually won't hear some of the following. What social pressures might they be facing that we have no clue about? What about all of the stuff that's been in the news for the last 2 years? How is that translating for them? Or what shame might that teenager be carrying from maybe a poor life decision or even an abusive situation? So a simple question allows our kids and our teenagers to just simply exhale. And in turn, it causes them to feel seen on a deeper level. So this is seen in a way that communicates, I don't just see your behavior, I actually see your heart. So our kids can have really big and sometimes off-putting emotions, that is true. But think about this. What if the only question that they have in that moment is, do you see me? So leaders, we need to remember that when we show up, slowing down enough to see them and maybe acknowledge what they're feeling in that moment, we can eventually lead them to process those emotions to help them to think more logically and make wise choices, which is really what we want, right? But we have to start by first paying attention to their feelings. So to lead kids and teenagers, we have to see them. When they feel seen, we win their heart. So we have a tool that can help you to do that. So we have a feelings wheel that can be really helpful in helping your kids and teens to actually put feelings into words. And you can find this tool or a copy of it online or in our book, Seen.
Chinwe, I actually know a youth group that had the feelings wheel printed on pillows for their small group room.
So, I think you sent me a picture of that. That was so cool.
Yeah, so it's totally usable within the context of your ministry. The next tool is to just listen. Now, listening is a powerful tool that seems too simple to matter, but this is huge, especially for those of us who are ministry leaders when there could be 1,000 things going on in our heads on a Sunday morning. But when someone is experiencing despair or anxiety, it's so important for us to stop, see them, and listen. For someone in despair, trying to formulate words or express the emotion that they're feeling can be really, really hard. And it takes time. It takes feeling safe to open up. And it should make it easier when we forget about teaching or just saying the right thing, to just simply listen. But too often, instead of truly listening, we're thinking about what we're going to say next. Instead, focus on what the other person has to say. Your presence is more important than your words. Teaching moments can come later, but in this moment of right brain and right brain, we want to stay engaged in simply just listening. Teaching activities really activates the left side of the brain, the logical processing side. And we're aiming to help them to emotionally process, which happens on the right side. So when you're trying to help someone decrease feelings of despair or anxiety, it's all about listening and then listening some more. A huge portion of our communication is nonverbal. So this is eye contact, verbal and pronunciations and the tone of our voice and appropriate physical touch can actually hack the brain and help kids and teens to feel safe. Have you ever had a best friend and one of your first interactions, you kind of bonded over something that you had in common and you were just talking and you were just vibing. You were just in sync. That's what we're talking about. That kind of in syncness really happens when we feel felt, when we feel deeply understood. And that can't occur without good listening. So here's some things that you could say. You could say things like, so what you're saying is blank, and then reverberate back. This is called mirroring. You could say things like, I understand how you would feel that way. Or you might say, I can imagine you might feel blank while you empathize with the emotion that they feel. You see, when we just listen, the end result is kids and teenagers feel safe.
So after we listen, leaders, We speak life. Now, I'm guessing that you are already really good at this. So after the emotional exhale, after listening, it's so important to speak life in the teens and the kids that you're leading. And most of all, because of the barrage of critical voices that are doing just the opposite, right? They get so many messages that echo around our culture. It's so vital for leaders to constantly speak affirming words in kids in every phase of life. So these are words that build and speak life. So let me tell you what happens in the brain with negative words. So negative words quickly turn into negative thoughts, which can be both damaging and self-perpetuating. Leaders, I want to share a stat with you that you may or may not have heard about. So neuroscientific research tells us that we have 60 to 80,000 thoughts per day. And 80% of those thoughts, my friends, are negative. And that negative self-appraisal starts really, really young in our kids. So a kid or a teenager needs to hear so many more positive comments to actually counteract the negative ones. So negative words, negative thoughts, and feedback have much more of an impact on us than positive ones. So they're quicker to surface and much harder to disconfirm. So I want to give you just three keys to speaking life. It's really simple. Are you ready? Keep it simple, keep it specific, and leave an impact. So I want to leave just a little word of caution. This is often where the ministry leaders that I know and work with like to jump in right away. They're so good at this. But we see students facing really difficult emotions and situations. And so, of course, it makes sense that we want to kind of rescue them with the truth of scripture or some faith-filled statement. My friends, this is important and needed. But speaking life and the truth of scripture in a small group setting is received best after helping your kid or your teenager to feel seen and heard first. And why is that? Because when we win the heart, we can lead the mind. So how do we speak life over our students? Let me give you some quick examples. Say things like, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are loved and seen by God. You have a hope and a future that's written on my son's wall right now. Through Christ, you are an overcomer. You can also encourage them by saying things like, I am really proud of you for standing up with that friend who didn't have anyone by his side. Or let's say you go to your kid or teen's lacrosse game. You can mention to them, gosh, I was really observing you and you show great leadership out there on the field. So ministry leaders, when we speak life to our kids and our teens, they feel worthy.
Okay, so the connection tools are to show up, to see them, just listen, speak life, and the last one, help them to build grit. Now, the goal of these connection tools is to help your students and your kids to overcome life's obstacles. You've heard of resilience, self-discipline, self-management, all very similar concepts. We need to have gritty kids. But let's take a moment and address some thoughts that maybe you've had. Some of you are maybe the type of people who are the suck it up type of people. And you've thought, we don't need any of this feelings mumbo jumbo stuff. We just need tough kids. Like, our kids just need to be tough. They need more faith. They need more of God's truth, and they just need to memorize it. Well, I hear you. Maybe you fear that your students or your kids won't have resilience or grit to overcome obstacles if they do acknowledge their feelings. You want your kids and your teenagers to be tough because it's a tough world. And you're right, it is a tough world, but it's also an emotional one. And the culture that you grew up in is much different from the one that the kids in our student, our kids ministry and our student ministry are growing up in today. Chances are you saw your friends daily. You emotionally exhaled on the regular. If you experienced a breakup in ninth grade, chances are you went to your friend's house, you talked about that breakup, and your friend told you, there's somebody else. Let's just move on. Your friend comforted you. And in that moment, whether you realize it or not, your brain interpreted the feeling of love to feeling seen and feeling empathy. My point is that you had more opportunities to feel seen, to feel felt, via these micro connections. The digital world has created less and less face-to-face conversations and face-to-face connections. And even though we're still communicating and we're still connected, our brains don't necessarily interpret that connection the same way. And the last point on grit is we need to equip kids and teens with coping tools that will enable them to have grit over time and have the courage to move forward even in the face of fear. How do we do this? We do this by helping them to feel seen. And when we do, when we help them to build grit, they feel empowered.
Will Hutcherson, who's coming to Jacob's Well Church this Friday night and Saturday morning for a student session on mental health, the conversation Friday night from 6 to 8, that's free, and Saturday morning from 9 to noon, just $5 at the door for the parents' session. Hutcherson is co-author with Dr. Chinwe Williams of the bestseller Seen, Healing Despair and Anxiety in Kids and Teens Through the Power of Connection, and also they've co-authored Beyond the Spiral, Why You Shouldn't Believe Everything Anxiety Tells You. Again, we thank Jacob's Well for bringing Hutcherson in this Friday night and Saturday morning. The Friday night student session is free for kids 6th to 12th grade, helping students understand that their connections to others can help improve mental health. And then the Saturday morning parent session, just $5 at the door, dealing with healing mental health in kids and students through the power of connections. Again, at Jacob's Well Church, 989 122nd Street in Chippewa Falls. That does it for this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. I'm Mark Halverson.